So Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Over to Mike now, who's going to explore this with us.
Well, as Emma said, Paul is not just in lockdown, he's in prison, and there's a good chance he's going to be executed. And he's writing to his dear friends back in Philippi. And I must say, if I was writing this letter from prison, I'd say things like, well, the blanket's itchy and the porridge is lumpy and the Wi-Fi's patchy and I can't get out to exercise. And most of all, I am scared. I'm scared about what will happen to me. But Paul, he writes to the Philippians and he says, thank you for your care package. It's not easy in prison, but you need to know I am joyful. I am full of joy. I'm thrilled, excited, delighted. And you get a flavor of Paul's joy in these opening verses. It's really clear that he loves his friends in Philippi. Did you catch that? Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. And that these friends in Philippi, they're not just on his prayer list, they're in his heart. Do you see verse 7? It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. Verse 8, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He longs to see them. He loves them with Christ's love, a love that is prepared to lay down his life for them. Friends, think of the people you love like that. And as you think of them today, how do you feel? Maybe lonely, because you miss them. Or maybe you feel sad for them because they missed out on the last term at school. Or maybe you're worried for them. You're worried about the financial pressure they're coming under, or you're worried about what lockdown might do to their mental health. You're worried that they might get sick. And Paul says in verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Joy. He's in prison for preaching about Christ. He says he knows the Philippians are going through some of the things that he's going through. He knows they're beginning to face persecution. He knows they might lose their jobs or be thrown into prison. They might even be executed for being Christians, yet when he thinks of them and prays for them, he is always full of joy. And we think, what is he on? You know, has solitary confinement kind of messed with his head? No, Paul sees what matters most. I think the Lord has used this coronavirus to open our eyes in a way. Think of how we used to swoon at celebrities and now we clap for care workers. Think of how we used to want more things. Now it's people we ache for. Think of how we used to think death wasn't something that was really going to happen to me. Now we realize we all need to talk about it. We all need to face it. A sense in which coronavirus has given us a bit of clarity about what really matters in life. And Paul, he's in prison and he's facing death and he has got crystal clarity on what matters. It comes out in this phrase. It's a phrase he uses twice. It's phrase, the day of Christ. Did you catch that when Emma read? End of verse 6. Until the day of Christ Jesus. And then end of verse 10. Pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That day gives Paul clarity about what really matters in life. Explains why he's able to think of his friends in Philippi with joy. You see, the point is Jesus Christ is not a spirituality that helps some of us cope with things. Off the back of Easter, the Christian conviction is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that shows he's not just another teacher. He is one who has power over life and death. It shows he is the king. It shows us that if we are in this world, we are on his land. And one day, this day of Christ that Paul talks of, the king will come again and he will destroy all those who defy him, his enemies. He'll deal with all that is wrong in this world and he will put things right. And there'll be no more tears and no more sickness and no more death because there'll be no more sin. And his people will enjoy the life that we were created for, life with him in a world made new. And that is the glorious future, the future beyond the coronavirus, beyond lockdown, beyond life, beyond even death. That is the future that Jesus promises. And when you see that, then you see what really matters in life today. Forgive me, I've told this story before, I think, but I think it helps make the point. It's a story of how years back, my family were all off to Germany to celebrate my German grandmother's 80th birthday. It was going to be a big family do. The boat had been pushed out a very long way and there'd been a reception booked in a fancy hotel. And my wonderful mother, who does not do things by halves, she had hired a people carrier for the journey. It had air conditioning and tinted windows and everything. And in those days, that was a big deal. And she had made enough food to ensure that in the event of world war, we could have just parked the people carrier and seen it through on a rich diet of bacon and egg rolls and chicken wings and potato salad and pork pies and cloudy lemonade and fruit corners. Each one of us had our own personal dustbin bag for rubbish and our own personal little packet of handy travel wipes for sticky fingers. And we drove down to Dover to catch the ferry. And in the queue where you had to kind of show your passports, there was a bloke behind us leaning up against his car. It was a clapped out old thing. And he was dunking a kind of Mars bar into a plastic cup he'd bought at the cafe. Of the two of us, who had got what they needed for the journey? Who had got what mattered? Had to be us, didn't it? All the pork pies. But then it came to finding the passports. And Mum started pulling things out of bags and kind of rooting around in the glove compartment and shaking all the coats. We were even unpacking rolls at one point just to see if somehow the passports had got in them. The ferry was boarding. It was going to be a big do. It was a fancy hotel. We needed to get there. And in the light of passport control up ahead, we got clarity about what really matters for making the journey. Lovely to have pork pies, but you really need to be able to find your passports. That's what really matters. And Paul prays with joy, because the Philippians have got clarity about what really matters. How can he tell they've got it? Well, verse 5, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is gripped by the reality of the day of Christ. And he spent his life, therefore, telling everyone to get ready for the day. He went around the world telling everyone about the king, how the king had come to lay down his life for his enemies, for us, so that we could become his friends, so we could enjoy this future with him in a world made new. And the Philippians have partnered with Paul in that. They've joined in. So when Paul first arrived in Philippi, he had nowhere to stay. A woman called Lydia became a Christian and opened up a home to him. In Philippi, the crowd attacked Paul. He ended up in prison there. And the jailer became a Christian and washed Paul's wounds and gave him food. And even when Paul moved on from Philippi, they gave him money for his missionary trips. And now they've sent him a care package in prison. And the fact that they are prepared to stand with Paul, risk their own safety for the cause of the gospel, shows they are no longer enemies of Christ, but his friends. And it shows that they get what matters most. Shows that they get that what matters most is that people are ready for the day of Christ. When you think of the people you love, isn't that what thrills you most? Your child comes home from school with a good grade. It's nice and all, isn't it? Good grade. But when they come home saying that they've been talking to their friends about Jesus, isn't that what thrills you? Because it shows they've got what really, really matters in life. And when we think of people in our church whom we love and whom we're missing, we're not thinking of the jobs that they do, are we? Or the degrees they've got, or the cars they drive. It just doesn't matter. We're thinking of how they stand for Christ at work, even though it costs them. We're thinking of how they give up evenings to share the love of Christ with people who are sleeping rough on the streets. How they give up a lunch hour to read the Bible and pray with you. Isn't that what thrills us? Isn't that what fills us with joy as we think of them? We think, they've got it. They've got what matters. They've got what you really need for the journey that lies ahead. They've got their passports. And maybe the Philippians are thinking, well, Paul, we're grateful for the encouragement, but, you know, it's really tough following Jesus. We're not sure if we can keep going. And I guess that'll be many of us. It's hard. It's costly. And in lockdown, it's lonely. We're not sure if we can keep going. Well, if that's you, feast on verse 6. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He there is the living God. And Paul is saying, if you are partnering in the gospel, if you're giving your life to the cause of Christ, if you're visiting the housebound on a Friday morning to pray with them, it is because the living God is at work in you. He has begun a work in you. You see that the Christian life is not me gritting my teeth and resolving to kind of join in with what the king is doing. The Christian life is the living God grabbing hold of me. He is at work in you, says Paul. And you might think, well, I can't carry on. And the truth is, you can't. You can't. But he can. And he has started to work in you. And friends, he will carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus. He will complete what he has started. And this is why Paul isn't worried about the Philippians. Now, they might lose their jobs. They might get imprisoned. They might even get killed. But you see, Paul knows that there is something that matters more than any of those things. There is friendship with Jesus. See, and if we've got him, we've got what matters for the journey that lies ahead. Because it means we're going to be ready for the day of Christ. It means we have a world made new to look forward to. I don't know, you might be listening in and thinking, hold on, what is Paul saying here? Is he saying it doesn't matter if my wedding day is postponed, if I don't get to take my exams, if I lose my job, if I get ill? Is he saying that doesn't matter? Is he heartless? No, these things matter. They do matter. Paul says we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. We're to weep with those who weep. We're to be there for each other in all the ups and downs of life. All these things matter, but not as much as we have been told. And sometimes our worries about these things reveal we've lost the kind of clarity that the day of Christ gives. When we see with the clarity that Paul sees, it's liberating. Because what it means is the people you love, they may lose their job, they may fail their exams or never get married, or may be suffering from long-term illness. But that's not the end of their world. This life is very fragile, very short, but the day of Christ is coming. Spin it round. Let's say the people you love have got everything. They've got the fancy job and the beautiful family and the lovely home, but they are not ready for the day of Christ. All pork pies and no passport. Nothing to rejoice about then. But you see, if God is at work in them, and they are ready for the day of Christ, then you can be thrilled for them. You can be joyful as you think of them, because there may be things they don't have, but they have what matters most. They have a future with Christ, a world made new to look forward to. I think this is a particular challenge for parents. Do our children know what matters most to us? Do they know that it's not that they get to university or they get married or they get a fancy job, but what matters most to us is that the living God is at work in them and that they are ready for the day of Christ? Do they know that? Paul prays with joy because he knows that his friends at Philippi, they've got what matters most. And now he tells us what he's praying for them. Verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He's praying, I thank God that you love him, and I'm praying that you'd love him even more. I'm praying that you'd grow to know him better and better. Verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So that you would see what matters most and you would live in the light of the day of Christ and be ready for that day. That's what I'm praying. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I'm praying that as you grow in love for God, I'm praying that people would see the fruit of your growing relationship with Jesus. They'd see you become more and more like him, so they would look at you and they would praise God. Do you see the happy cycle? Paul is thrilled that God is at work in them because nothing matters more. And he says, because nothing matters more, because that's the most important thing, that's what I'm praying. I'm praying for God to keep working in you. And friends, like the Philippians, we might look ahead to the next few months with fear. And if all that matters is jobs and money and exams and health and holidays, there's lots to fear, because the next few months could leave us worse off. But do you see how this sets us free from fear? Because what this means is that even if we lose our jobs or money or fail our exams or our health fails, the next few months could leave us not worse off, but better off. Because in the light of the day of Christ that is to come, what is the best thing that could happen to us? What is the best thing that could happen to us in the next few months? The best thing is that we could grow in our relationship with God. We could become more patient with the people around us, better at putting their needs before our own, that we would complain less, give thanks more, learn to be content. That would be the best thing that could happen to us, because that's what matters most, ready for the day of Christ. It's exciting to think about that for ourselves, what God could do. It's exciting to think about that for those we love, isn't it? And here is the thing. Right now, there's lots we can't do for those we love. But there's one thing we can do, and it is the most powerful thing of all. Pray. Think of someone on your heart, someone you love, someone you long for. Have you got them? Got them in your mind? Well, pray this prayer for them, that they would grow in their relationship with Jesus, that they would be ready for the day of Christ. And imagine if we spend the next few months all praying this for one another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we all emerge from lockdown, we've all got stories to tell of how God has been answering this prayer. That as a church, we have not stood still, but we have grown in our relationship with Jesus. We've grown in ways that our friends and family see that we are different. They see that there's something that matters more to us than holidays and exams and money and jobs. There's something that matters more than life itself. There is Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they saw that in such a way that they too would come to be ready for the day of Christ? See, in the light of that day, that is the best possible outcome of the next few months. That we would be ready for the day to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the day of Christ, the day when he comes again to make all things new. And we pray that you would help us to live in the light of that day. And we pray it for your honor and glory. Amen.
We've got a couple of questions for you, Mike. The most popular question so far is, did you find the passports?
Sorry, I forgot, I should have said. Yeah, we did. Yeah, but we had that moment of clarity. Yeah.
Great. That's a lot of questions done. Mike, how do we most effectively line up our lives around Christ and get ourselves ready for his return?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it comes out in verse 9, what Paul prays for the Philippians, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. So the Christian life is a life of loving the King, and I want to please him. I want to live by what he says. But actually, to know, I want to love what he loves and hate what he hates, but in order to do that, I need to know him. I need to know what he loves and what he hates. So that's why the Christian life is a life lived in line with God's word. It's not because we're sort of Bible beavers and we love reading a dusty old book, as we believe that this is how the King shares his heart with us and tells us what he loves and what he hates. So I think the bottom line is I'm seeking to live to please the King. That's what makes the Christian tick. How do I know what pleases him? Well, I spend my time in the scriptures, poring over them, getting to know him better. It's something like that.
Great. How can we practically be encouraged to be partners in the gospel when it feels like we're stuck in lockdown on our own?
Yeah, thank you. I think I've been hearing stories already of how people have been getting involved in the cause of the gospel. We thought about it a little bit last week, just getting in touch with other Christians, saying, how can I encourage you? Why don't we pray together? Or here's a book I'm reading. Why don't you read it? And let's talk about it together. So there's that kind of partnership, but there's also what we do with our finances, hearing of the sort of the needs across the world that are particularly arising. It's often the places that are poorest that are being hit hardest by the impact of coronavirus. There's ways in which I can sort of join in financially and actually do what Paul does here. I can pray. And we sometimes think prayer is sort of last resort because we couldn't think of anything else to do. In the Bible, actually, it's when you get the big guns out. That's the first move of God's people. Spend more time praying for the cause of the gospel around the world now, when we've got a bit more time to do that.